The Dan and Maz Show. My fellow Australians, it's time for the first meal of the day. And it's a day that starts with S, which means it must be time for your serving of weekend breakfast. So crank your volume up. Oh, to a respectable listening level.
It is still quite early.
It's time for Dan and Maz Weekends. Hooray!
Everything lights up, makes you want to shout.
Hello, good morning, legends. It's Dan and Maz Weekends. Hello, hello, hello.
Hi. Looking across the show, as you know, we have to have an animal topic and a food topic every show.
We
do. That is our rule.
Self-imposed rule, by the way. Not a rule from anybody other than ourselves.
Dog topic. Yeah, it wasn't even a rule. We just noticed that it was happening with terrifying regularity. And yet, once again, it's happened.
Dog topic after 8?
After 8. We
dog
have
topic.
Now
dog
at
topic.
Half past 7, so coming up real soon, Mazzy, a food and beverage topic. Probably leaning more towards the beverage, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
But it's definitely a comestible good. So
excellent.
Yep.
It's going to be a good one, guys. Hey, Dan, did you win trivia last night?
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, the Guantanamo Babes were victorious in the trivia.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Stop applauding, Australia. Keep going. Stop applauding.
If you ever get the chance to have Dan DeBoof on your trivia team, it is one of life's greatest pleasures because you, my friend, you're very smart, but you're very passionate.
Very competitive as well. My friends were all exactly the same. And it came down to a tiebreaker, Maz, and the question was, what does the C in E=MC² stand for?
Carbon. Is it carbon?
Who knows? Who knows?
Did I win?
Tim in the phone room, do you know what the C in E=MC² stands for?
As if Tim would know.
Absolutely no idea.
Okay. Yeah. No one knows?
No. Did you know?
13, 10, 60. Yeah, I got it right. 13, 10, 60. Anyone know? Anyone? Speed of light.
The speed of light? That doesn't start with C?
Yep.
Oh, it does because you can't see it.
Oh, God.
Oh,
no.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
It's time to open up the Encyclopedia of Awesome.
For centuries, people have gathered to argue over the most important topics. What is the best breakfast cereal? What's the best word beginning with T? We're going to solve them one at a time and stick them in the Encyclopedia of Awesome. And today's question is,
what's the best sound to make with your mouth?
Well, what about your signature laugh, Maz?
This is the best topic.
Sound. Yes.
This is the best topic for the Encyclopedia of Awesome. It lives online at danandmaz.com. So if you're ever in a discussion with somebody and you want to know what the best of something is, you don't have to argue with them anymore. You just jump onto danandmaz.com, look up the Encyclopedia of Awesome, and it's there.
The best item of stationery is post-it notes.
Of course.
The best Adam Sandler film is The Wedding Singer. The best soup.
I can't remember that one. Pumpkin? Tomato?
Yep, pumpkin soup.
Pumpkin.
Pummy soup. Pum-pum.
So today, this is the topic, 13, 10, 60, if you'd like to chime in with the suggestion. What is the best sound to make with your mouth?
13, 10, 60. Anyone with a mouth can play.
That is a tough one to tweet. Unless you try and spell it out phonetically,
Maz,
I feel like this is a call-only topic.
Well, a lot of people on our Facebook are giving us examples.
Can you read them out?
Yeah, Leah has said, bird calls, my budgie is the best, and my magpie.
Okay.
Jennifer has said, the tap noise, which I'm assuming is when people do the plink kind of sound. They can
give
out they flick the side of their plink kind of thing.
Yeah, you can't do that one. I can't do that
one.
But that's
okay.
But I know I can imagine it in my brain.
Rachel says, I can legit bark like a dog, lol. Legit. Legit. Too legit to quit. Matthew says, yodeling. See, there's a few here.
These are some great ones. Okay, well, we need to take some calls as well.
This is my favorite one. Scott says, how about an adult conversation? And then Andrea wrote below, I feel so immature, I wrote fart noises. All right. Anyone with a mouth can play. What is the best sound to make with your mouth.
Yes, we need all of the suggestions and then we will lock the most popular one into the Encyclopedia of Awesome for everybody for the rest of forever. Dan, have you got one?
What about...
What is that noise, though? Like, if you had to explain that noise, it's like a ruler. It's like twanging a ruler
on
a desk.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah,
because I knew what you were going to say.
Yeah, sure. What about fubada, 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 fubada?
That's not a ruler on a desk.
What about... That's pretty good.
Okay, 131060. Best sound to make with your mouth...
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Time to open up the Encyclopedia of Awesome.
For centuries, people have gathered to argue over the most important topics. What is the best breakfast cereal? What's the best word beginning with T? We're going to solve them one at a time and stick them in the Encyclopedia of Awesome. And today's question is...
What's the best sound to make with your mouth?
131060. That's our number. Call us. If you've got a mouth, make the best sound you can with it.
That's it. That's the brief.
And we'll lock it in forever in the Encyclopedia of Awesome. Our mouths are fun little things, aren't they?
They really are. We've got Jody.
Oh, I was going to offer another thought starter, Matt.
Yeah, go for it.
So, Jody, shut up for a minute because I'm talking. It's my show. What about this one?
Tim the Toolman Taylor. Could get really annoying as well.
Nah.
Let's take some calls, Jody.
Hey, how you going?
Good, babe. Best sound to make with your mouth is...
There it is, folks. Are we just going to get a whole bunch of people making fart sounds?
I think so. Jody,
what was your technique there?
That's a raspberry.
Yeah, but what was your technique? Like, did you put your palms to your mouth? Was it your arms?
No, it was just purely vibrating your tongue against your lips.
Okay, all right, well, explain. Yeah, all right,
good Jody, that's brilliant.
We're having fun.
I think if the Facebook comments are anything to go by, that is exactly the tone of the calls that we're going to get.
Awesome.
We've got Trent, hello.
Hey guys, how you going?
Trent.
Good.
What's the best sound to make with your mouth?
Well, I believe Zoidberg did it. It was
That's brilliant,
can
Trent.
When the people are doing their noises, can we turn the music down? Because I don't want to...
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Good idea.
Step on their toes. Well done, Trent.
Thanks,
or
Trent.
Should I say Dr. Zoidberg?
Emma.
Hi.
Hey, Emma. What's the best sound to make with your mouth? Whoa. Are you there? Emma?
Nah.
What's going on with Emma's phone?
New caller. Nah. She's, new sounds caller. Like she's being attacked by C-3PO.
Jason.
Where's Jason? Oh, this is a disaster.
Yeah.
There you are.
Hey, mate.
Oh,
what's the best sound to make with your mouth?
Keep going. A little more. A little more. A little more.
Jason.
There we go.
How are you doing that? Are you pulling your cheeks away from the middle of your mouth?
No, you just hit your tongue to the bottom of your lip.
Oh, all right.
Oh, okay.
Well, it sounds really charming, Jason. We got Arn. Arn?
Hello.
What's the best sound to make with your mouth, Arn?
A duck noise.
Well, do it.
Okay, can you do it?
That's a good one.
Go again.
Ah. Do you whip that out at parties, Arn?
No, I don't.
You should. You'd be a real hit.
this has been a fun one.
All right, let's go to the phone room. We got phone boy Tim. Hey, phone boy Tim.
Good morning, guys.
Ooh, what's the best sound? What do you personally?
This is going to be great because you've got to do the noises.
Oh, do I really? I thought I was just going to have to describe.
No.
Well, before you go to the honourable mention, just you personally, what's the best sound you can make with your mouth?
I'm not bad at a little bird whistle.
Go for it.
Do it. Do it.
So it sounds like there's a bird in the studio, doesn't it?
Oh!
Pretty good.
I think it'll be a crested kestrel, I think. No, all right.
Oh my God, Tim, I actually thought that you had no talent, but that proves that you are actually really quite talented.
Yeah, I do.
Good on you, mate.
All right, you've done your whistle. Before we get to the winner, is there any that you saw on maybe social media or that called up that deserve an honourable mention?
I think the tongue / bottom lip click, which I think might be the...
Oh, yeah, that's...
Where you, like, sort of stretch your bottom lip over your bottom row of teeth and then...
What about this?
Yeah.
That's different.
It's different.
I know what you're saying, mate.
Looks odd. That's very visual, Dan.
Okay.
Yeah. Guys,
come on, mate.
I think number one would have to be the dripping.
Let's do it.
Dripping tap.
Oh,
Dan, which you mentioned before. That's been overwhelming on social.
Really?
No, that kind of.
I
there it is. You can do that one too. We've got an umbilical brother out in the phone room.
The dripping tap, really? That's one.
All right, I'm
get
surprised.
You to
do it. You know how there's a gap in the middle of the closer? We've got closer audio, and normally I say what is locked in.
You have to do it.
So it's going to go blah, 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 and there'll be a
and
gap.
And then you do the noise.
That. All right.
Don't say dripping tap. Don't stuff this up.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
And so the final decision was made and entered into the Encyclopedia of Awesome. From this day forward, let it be known that is the best.
Sound to make with your mouth. Yeah!
How'd you feel about that, Tim?
I thought it went well.
Okay.
Oh, I thought it was okay.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
We are innovators, Maz Compton. Mm. We're always trying to make radio better and more exciting. And you've been off to our sort of radio laboratory this week. You've done a bit of tinkering and you've invented a new segment.
Got a new segment, guys.
You've invented a new segment.
Yep.
So it's always fun to... dust off or to pull the sheet off or to cut the ribbon on a
unveil,
new segment.
Unveil.
Unveil. Reveal.
Reveal.
Are we ready?
Yes, we are. Zero gravity. Zero gravity. Uranus. Gamma ray. Light year. Kepler's laws of planetary motion. It's Maz Compton's astronomy phenomenon.
Oh. Now, I've got to say, Maz, I love this new segment.
So do I.
This almost has a bit of a flavour of dinosaur news to it.
Do not compare my brand new segment to dinosaur news.
No, Maz, it's science news.
Yeah, but it actually exists. It's not extinct.
Dinosaurs exist. You can see them at the Museum of Natural History. Maz Compton's Phenomenon Astronomon. What?
Maz Compton's astronomy phenomenon.
So what is the purpose of this segment?
No, I don't know. Just look up into the sky and see stuff and talk about it.
Okay.
So we all know...
Tree.
No, higher than the tree.
Ooh.
Look above the trees, people. Open your eyes, sheeple. So... We all know what a rainbow.
Like
no, it's not. It's not.
One of your conspiracy.
But I did do a lot of reading about chemtrails the other day.
Oh,
no, we all know what a rainbow looks like. Thanks to the internet, we know what a double rainbow looks like. Remember this guy?
It's a freaking double rainbow. Oh my gosh.
God.
I've never. Oh my gosh. Look at that. All the way. It's a double rainbow.
Bet. That is one of the best videos still.
Double rainbow.
Still to this day. Oh, double rainbow. And then there was a triple rainbow, I believe, towards the end of that YouTube video that goes for about 8 minutes if you've got the time.
Yep.
But what about this one, Dan? Mm. Have you ever heard of a fog bow?
So as opposed to a rainbow created by rain, this is one created by fog.
Have you ever heard... of a fog bow.
Twice now, yeah.
Also known as a white rainbow. So this photographer was in Scotland and he's put his this picture of a fog bow or a white rainbow. I've never seen them before. I don't know if they're like a recent thing or if they've been around forever and we're only, you know, just seeing them now. But he took this photo in Scotland and it literally does look like a rainbow but with absolutely zero colour through it.
Okay.
Really incredible. And it is, so you know how, so rainbows, oh, they're also known as ghost rainbows, yeah, or cloud bows.
Are we going to get words like refraction soon?
No.
Or like dispersion of light?
Well,
or
you know,
like
how a rainbow,
the spectrum or something like
you know
that?
How a rainbow is formed?
Yeah.
Right? So it's,
how?
What is it?
How, Maz? You tell me.
I believe it's something to do with the moisture in the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And the sun reflecting through it.
Yeah, yeah.
And a rainbow will always be...
You refract through, you reflect off.
Yeah, so this is to do with the fog and not the moisture.
Okay.
And so it takes all... It looks like it's a rainbow, but all the light and all the colour is sucked out of it. It's just white.
Okay.
And the sky.
Probably because maybe the light doesn't bend enough because the fog's a bit thinner, but it's still...
Probably.
Yeah.
If you want to really go deep into the science of it, yeah. Or you could just appreciate
that
I learned a new word.
What was the purpose of the segment? Was to go deep into the science.
No, I don't go deep. Don't go too deep into the science. It's more just about...
Just dip your toe in the kiddie pool of science.
I saw a really cool photo on the internet. I was like, what the hell is that? It's a rainbow, but no colours.
Can we get the opening titles again?
Yeah, let's do it.
I thought that sounded really cool. So what's the segment called, Maz?
It's called Maz Compton's Astronomy Phenomenon.
Zero gravity. Uranus. Gamma ray. Light year. Kepler's laws of planetary motion. It's Maz Compton's Astronomy Phenomenon.
You can look for fog bows in thin fog when the sun is bright. You might see one when the sun breaks through a fog, or watch for fog bows over the ocean.
Okay. Do you have a sign off? Do you say something like, and keep watching the skies or something like that?
Sure, that'll do.
Say it.
Keep watching the skies.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Time to talk about money.
Money, money, money.
Okie dokie.
Well, no, this is also, this doubles as our food and beverage segment for the day.
Oh, good. Well, we do need one of those in every show, and we need to talk about animals. That's happening after 8.
This is also a bit of a David and Goliath scenario as well, where the little man, the underdog, defeats the big...
giant.
Well, to be honest, it's kind of the other way around, because no one would call Coles a... David, would they? They're a Goliath of the shops.
That's true.
But what has happened, a $5 bottle of Coles home brand Shiraz has won from over 100,000 bottles of wine. It was judged by experts from Wine Estate or Wine State. I don't know if you pronounce the E in the middle or not. Wine Estate.
It depends on the time of day, the state that they're in probably.
Exactly. That's the kind of state they're in. Has been judged the best bottle of wine available for under $20. A $5, whoa, cha-ching, a $5 bottle of Coles Big and Bold Shiraz.
Now, are these blind tastings? So like, well, probably later in the day they would be, but you know how they did like the Coca-Cola and the Pepsi challenge and they were blind. So you didn't know which one you were tasting and then you were like, oh, that one's better. And then like, it was Pepsi and everyone thinks Pepsi tastes better than Coke, but everyone buys more Coca-Cola.
Well,
is it like that? Or is this just Coles doing a bit of PR?
If we could just do a bit of sidebar there, Maz.
Yes.
That's because Pepsi has a sweeter flavour. So on first taste, it hits you. It's sweeter. It's more exciting. But for long sustained drinking, the Coca-Cola is the superior drop.
But there you go.
That's a fact. Here's how they describe this $5 wine. Excellent value with this fresh, fruity styled Shiraz. Bright berry fruit characters both on the nose and the palate. Good lingering flavours. Love a linger. Good lingering flavours at a great price. Buy a case or two for everyday drinking.
Everyday drinking.
A case or two every
Excuse
day.
Me?
Who are these madmen?
What's going All on women? There?
So, what this has basically done, it's confirmed a thing, right? It's like if anyone's spending more than $5 on a bottle of wine, they're getting
Forget
ripped
it.
Off.
Absolutely. You're not getting about. The best wine if you're spending more than $5 on wine.
No, but you don't have to bother. You don't have to bother anymore. Anytime someone spends $6 on a bottle of wine, you can go, you idiot, why didn't you buy Coles brand Big and Bold? It's the best wine in the world, according to Wine State or Wine Estate. We didn't confirm before broadcasting. So, 13, 10, 60. What do you reckon? Give us and more specific the better. Like, talk about specific brands and stuff. Really get into it. What do you reckon you don't have to spend money on. And anyone who spends a big amount of money on is a fool. You've seen it. You know it. 131060, what have you, through your experiments and through your purchasing, realized you can go cheap on? You don't have to spend money on.
I think that we've debunked the theory that if you spend more money on an item, that it is better or the best because it's more expensive.
Yeah.
This is proof in the pudding that that is absolutely false.
Mm.
So,
what about
bargain hunters?
Bargain hunters. Yeah, call us up. What have you, through purchasing, you've realized you never have to spend any more money on this? I personally never buy anything in the dips aisle that comes in a terracotta or like any of the little, any packaging.
What?
You see it all the time, right? Like,
where are you shopping?
I'm talking about it, Coles, Woolies, in the supermarket.
In a supermarket.
They have like fancy dips where they're like, oh, this one comes in a special pot, or it comes, you know, any sort of packaging. I'm like, nah.
Because you're paying the extra dollars for the packaging.
It's a sign. Or sometimes it'll be a sort of brie or a camembert, but it will come in a cut in a wooden, like a thin wooden crate, as if it was shipped directly from France.
Right. And you just think that's just...
You're paying
that's
for
what
the
you're
packaging.
Paying for. You're paying for the product. I get it.
Everything should just be shipped in a brown paper bag.
Okay, if we lived in Dan's world,
right?
It'd be an interesting place.
Yeah.
Okay, 131060, what can you go cheap on?
Yeah.
We'll get to your calls next.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
131060 is the number. We want to know, what can you go cheap on?
Yeah, like stuff where you reckon the home brand is exactly the same as the expensive stuff. Give us the heads up so we aren't wasting dollars at the checkout. Oh, I went a bit... today, tonight there, didn't I?
You really did. It's an expose.
Saving your hip pocket at the checkout. Dan and Maz.
We've got Cass on 131060. Hello.
Hello. How you going, guys?
Really good, babe. So give us the hot tip. What can you go cheap on?
Okay. Well, here is the hot scoop for today, right? Maggi noodles compared to home brand instant noodles. Home brand is all the way. My children do not eat the other stuff.
Really?
You reckon it's exactly the same?
It's probably out of the same factory, isn't it?
It's the same. I reckon the Maggi noodles, compared to the instant ones, they're just not as nice. Like I said, my kids won't eat the other ones. I've tried to give them to them, not telling them that it's different, and they won't eat them. And the price, I reckon, is at least $4 or $5 cheaper. So why not go home brand instant noodles?
Okay. Go the home brand stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, my mum would buy Savings brand. Remember Savings brand?
Yeah, we had noodles. No frills because mum did the shopping at Franklin's.
Yeah.
Same stuff. It's the same stuff. And I think you're right, Dan, when you said earlier that you refuse to pay for things in really fancy packaging because it's more expensive because of the packaging.
Yeah.
You know, home brand packaging. They don't really put that much, I think, effort into it.
I'm going to throw another one out there just quickly, Maz, because I'm a big fan of fancy cheese, and you'd think that would be a bit of a what, Dan? You eat a lot of fancy cheese? Well, goodbye,
you have
money,
a cheese
Dan.
Encyclopedia.
I do, and I like to buy a fancy cheese and read about it as I eat it, right? Hey, I don't make fun of how you live your life, so that's
no one's
what I
judging.
Like to do. It's what
no
I like
one's
to
judging
do.
You.
I like to eat a fancy French cheese. It's just what I like to do. But I only ever buy them when they've got the... like about to go out of date sticker on them. So it's like, oh, we've discounted it by 50% because it goes out of date tomorrow. Yeah, then they last for like a month in your fridge.
They've marked it down, especially the moldy cheese because it's just like
it's already got the
mold
on.
It doesn't matter. Right, okay, we've got Tracy.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, Trace.
So good, babe. So what can you go cheap on? Tell us.
Well, I've got a really good one. I don't understand why people spend an absolute fortune on underwear.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Why go into Bras and Things and buy one G-string for $80 when you can get a full set at Best and Less?
For how
Best
much?
And Less. Oh, $4.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, $20.
$20 for a set.
Here's what
I've
you
never
can
spent
do.
$80 on a G-banger, Trace, to be honest with
I
you.
I have. Gosh, they've run up the bit. The budget, don't they?
Obviously
made out of French lace.
You don't shop at Bras and Things then, Maz?
No, obviously, I clearly don't. However, I'm a Bonds girl through and through.
If they want to give her an endorsement, she will. what about Maz? You know how these are, they say, Calvin Klein.
Oh, that is a fancy G-string you've got on today, Dan.
No. See the Calvin Klein around the rim, how the elastic says Calvin Klein. What about you just snip that off and just wear it like a little belt and it'll look like you're always wearing Calvin Klein's.
Well, and no undies.
No, you wear just normal home brand undies.
Oh, but you put the belt over the home brand just undies.
Slide on the elastic belt every time.
Do the home brand undies have home brand on the belt of the undies?
That would be a real shame. No, they probably say like Kevin Clone or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Calvin Klein.
Yeah, right.
Okay, we've got Kobe on 131060. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Really good, babe. What can you go cheap on? Tell us.
Toilet paper.
Oh, doesn't it give you an itchy bum? I've seen. Yeah. Or is that just a scare tactic by Big Bog Roll?
Maybe that's a scare tactic, but that's one thing that I will invest in.
Are you just using like one ply sandpaper?
No, not at all. I usually buy the six pack of the Eco Pure.
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
It's the home brand with the frogs on it, and it's like $2.90.
Yeah, that's the one I use, yeah.
You know, but, and it's not hard at all. It doesn't feel like sandpaper at all.
Does it feel soft on your bot, really?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does, really.
I can confirm. Yeah, I'm the same. I'm using that one too. We're rubbing the same thing on our bum.
I'm always a bit skeptical about buying toilet paper with a print on it. I like to just have a plain. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't want that ink near my bum.
Yeah, I just don't want to be rubbing like a small feather or whatever the hell is on them, one of seashells or whatever the hell they print on them.
I know.
In that area. Yeah,
just
keep
like
it plain.
Good old plain toilet roll. Anyway, thanks, Kobe. Katrina, hello.
Good morning.
All right, Katrina, Hi. What do you reckon you can go cheap on? No worries.
All right, cleaning products.
Okay. Oh, do you make your own?
Yeah.
Top of the list, you walk in the shopping centre, more than nearly half your bill is cleaning products.
Yeah.
And it is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Katrina, can I ask, do you make your own? Because I know, like, a couple of my girlfriends are really on this like non-toxic bandwagon, and they're making their own cleaning products, like apple cider vinegar for surface spray, bicarbonate soda for stuff.
Even that costs money. Just start to make that stuff. Why you got to do that?
What are you cleaning?
Sorry, Katrina. Are you saying just don't clean?
No. I'm a cleaner. I clean all day, every day.
Okay.
I'm word of mouth, and people love the way I clean. And I walk in, clean your mirrors and windows. Why do you need Windex and all this stuff? They go, boy, little
what
bit
do you
of vinegar
use?
In your warm water and a clean rag.
Vinegar, warm
Spotless
water, clean rag.
Every time. Spotless every time.
Okay.
Just everything. There's heaps of stuff. The bleaches, the sprays and wipes, everything. It just costs a fortune.
So you're saying that you can use vinegar, warm water and a clean rag for any type of surface cleaning and it should do the job?
No, that will do all your tiles, that will do your windows and your mirrors.
Wouldn't your place smell like a big old packet of salt and vinegar chips?
No.
Whoa. All right. That was emphatic. I got a remix there. Rewind selector.
Oh, this is good.
Okay. All right. So, Katrina, you're a professional.
Oh, I would call me a professional. I've been
professional
cleaning for over, like, 30 years.
Yeah, you know what you're doing. You
know stuff. Here's what I'm getting, Katrina, is I shouldn't be going to the supermarket and spending money on cleaning products. I should just hire a cleaner who brings their own.
Yeah. Or not really, because, see, they'd be wasting their money too. But you could do it like that.
Wait, did you just say your own job is a waste of money for people?
No, it depends who you get.
This turned into an advertorial for white vinegar. This
All right,
is great.
What state do you live in, Katrina?
New South Wales.
Yeah, what areas do you service?
All around Castle Hill, Kellyville.
All right.
So if you're in the Hills District and you need a cleaner, call Katrina. Oh!
Yay!
Sounded like an ad.
Katrina the cleaner. You just got a free ad.
Katrina Thank the cleaner.
You. Anyone 131060 if you want Katrina and you're in that area.
Get some vinegar.
Yeah, if you want your house to smell like vinegar. Oh, whatever. No, you're all right, Katrina.
Thanks for your calls, guys.
Okay, good stuff.
You're waking up with Dan and Maz Weekends.
Everything lights up, makes you want to shout. Talk about happiness, that's what we're talking about.
Morning, legends. It's Dan and Maz Weekends. Happy Sunday. Up next on the show, we do have to do an animal and a food segment each show. We've done the food segment for today.
Yeah, and it was a real corker, wasn't it? Thanks, Katrina.
Quite literally, it was a corker because it started off talking about wine.
good one. Up next is our animal segment.
It is. If you have a pet, you will absolutely want to get involved in this next segment.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
You would have noticed that the Arias happened last week.
The Flume Awards.
It was the Flume Awards. He did win a lot of awards. Other things that people were talking about were the Veronica's performance and the dates that Adam and Ruben from Peking Duck took to the Arias.
Mm.
They took two little sausage puppy dogs.
How are we doing, everybody? These are our beautiful little dates.
They're very lovely bitches.
Oh, my God. They're the cutest little things I've ever seen.
The best audio we could get was just them swearing.
Well,
no, they're not swearing. It's a science term.
They weren't swearing. I feel like the red carpet was, you know, there's always a kerfuffle on the red carpet. It's not a quiet sit-down interview scenario. There's hustle and bustle and boobs everywhere.
What do you think of red carpets, Maz? What do you actually really think of them?
To walk them or to be a...
Just the concept of them.
Stander or buyer.
It's sort of like a... It's a bit of an attention-seeking exercise, isn't it? It's who can generate the most amount of eyeballs and camera flashes, isn't it?
I feel like they're very overrated. So I think the people that have never been on a red carpet are like, oh, the red carpet. And everyone that goes on the red carpet is like, oh, the red carpet.
One thing to know about red carpets as well, I've done a few in my time as well, on both sides of the velvet rope. And that audio you just heard there, that is literally the amount of time that you get to interview everyone.
With an artist. That's true.
So when you see on TV or on Entertainment Tonight or whatever, they do that. And you're like, why didn't they show the whole interview? They did. That's how much time you get. So you want to be as in that moment, you want to be the most interesting. But you only get a minute. I'm talking about like when you're walking down. You know, you want to do something exciting so people play it on their radio show like we are right now. So well done to the Peking Duck Boys because they did something. They brought a couple of puppies.
It was just such a brilliant idea. And we want to talk this morning on 131060. Mm. If you've got a pet, have you taken your pet to a non-pet place? Because we know that there are dog cafes and we know that there are dog parks and some beaches you're allowed to let your dog or your pet out.
That's a pet place,
right? There's a designated pet place. But a red carpet.
At the Arias.
That is not a designated pet place.
No.
So 131060. Mm. Have you taken your pet to a non-pet place?
Now, taking the calls in the phone room is producer Tim. And Tim has said that the story that he would love to hear on the phones is someone who took a parrot, pirate style, on the shoulder to their school formal.
To a school formal.
That's what he said, that he really would love to hear. That's the kind of stuff we're after.
Yes, we want some crazy stuff.
If you've got that story, then bloody call up and make Tim's day. If I see him fist pumping through the glass, I'll know. I'll know that he's found his holy grail.
But he will take all of the other calls of people that have taken their pets to non-pet places.
The weirder the pet, the better as well.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
We want to know, 131060, have you taken your pet to a non-pet place inspired by the lads from Peking Duck who rocked the Arias red carpet with two gorgeous little sausage dogs as their dates. Oh my goodness. They're just the cutest little things ever.
Yeah, and they're holding two dogs.
I got it.
We got Dina on 131060. First of all, Dina, what's your pet? Tell us about your pet.
My pet is a Pomeranian Chihuahua. His name is Nismo.
Gizmo?
Yeah, he's after Nissan Motorsports because his butt drifts every time he's running along the corridor.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Nismo the Pomchi.
Yep, pretty much. I took him to uni with me actually one day when he was a pup and we kind of just let him fall asleep on the table. So I had to ask my tutor, can I bring him in because he's still a pup and there's no one home to look after him.
Obviously this would be...
Are you allowed to take your little dog to uni?
No, not unless they're guide dogs. But I kind of just kept him in my bag and I went into class and I was like, look, I got to look after him because there's no one else. So can I bring him in? She's like, sure, as long as he doesn't, you know, disturb the class.
Is a Pomeranian Chihuahua like an absolute psycho?
You know what? He wasn't when he was a pup, but now he's an absolute nut job.
Yeah, that does not surprise me. I was once a Chihuahua owner and they are messed up beasts.
Yeah, they are. They're quite yappy. Quite vocal little
but
fellow.
Portable.
They really are. You can just pop them in your bag and away you go.
Very portable.
Jessica, hello.
Hi.
What's your pet, Jess?
I have a horse named Indy.
Ooh. Where'd you take your horse to?
Nursing home.
Oh, wow.
Was it bring your horse to nursing home day? Or
not quite. We it was just a bit of a random thing. We have a few residents that used to train horses.
Oh.
And we thought we'd take them in to show them. And next thing you know, the manager came out and said, come on, bring them through. And she asked us to walk them through the facility to meet the other residents.
Oh, if
oh,
I was,
wow. Do you think you were going to get in trouble maybe?
I was, because we didn't ask.
I could imagine being like an old person in a nursing home and just being like, oh, well, off I go to get my lunch. Oh, look, there's a horse in the nursing home. That's it. Dementia has set in. That's it. I've finally gone mad.
Oh, that's true. Oh, that's really sweet.
Did they love it?
Great idea.
They loved it because a lot of them had horses.
Of course.
So, yeah.
That's really
sweet.
Well,
because in the olden days, there were no cars. That's how they got around.
That's right. It's true. Thank you, Jess. We have Luke on 131060. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Luke. What's your pet?
So, I took my rabbit to the beach.
Oh, that's nice. Yes. Little thumper having a bit of a splish splash. What's your rabbit's name?
Bunny.
Bunny. Wow, creative.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
How'd you think that one up?
Why did you take your rabbit to the beach, though? Like, what was the purpose there?
It just loves to play in the sand.
Oh, and is it a real hit with the ladies?
Oh, it's a hit with the ladies. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Do you have a little lead for the bunny rabbit? How do you keep it near you?
I do, but he doesn't like it, so I just let him run around.
He doesn't run off?
Doesn't run off. No, he's well trained.
Oh.
That's interesting.
That's fascinating. Yeah. A bunny at the beach. I
imagine that the council would have a fair bit to say about that.
Well, there's definitely signs that say that you're not allowed to let your dogs on particular beaches. Yeah. There's no sign saying no rabbits.
Yeah, okay, sure.
So, you know. Courtney, hello.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Really good, babe. What's your pet?
We used to have a bearded dragon.
Dragons are my favourite animals. Yeah. I love dragons.
She was amazing. She was affectionate, which nobody, we're like, what?
What do you mean she was affectionate?
She would literally crawl up your leg and she'd crawl all the way up. To,
crawling
like,
is not affection.
Yes, it is.
And
how do you display affection, Maz?
She'd bury her head into your collarbone and go to sleep.
Now, when we're talking about a bearded dragon, we aren't talking about like a Komodo dragon. or a goanna or a monitor lizard or some other such reptile. We're talking how big, like maybe like 15 centimetres?
I think she measured about 38.
Oh, so about a foot. All right, a bit over a foot. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
where'd you take her?
Would crawl up on and sit on your shoulder.
Yeah, I used to take her to the supermarket.
Oh, that'd be
fun. Now, did people stop you and ask what's going on there?
You've got a little something. You've got a little a beastie.
You'd get people going and just like not talk to you, and they'd veer off in the other direction because they'd pack their pants pretty much.
Excuse me, do you know where the...
Yeah, or you get people going, oh, my God, can I pat it? So I know there was one time we went to the supermarket and I had the checkout person chatting away to me, and then all of a sudden after about 40 seconds or so, they spotted it.
They realised.
And they broke the groceries. They pretty much threw them in the air, jumped, and ran off in the other direction. Yeah.
They think you were Khaleesi. They think you're Daenerys Targaryen, mother of dragons. What's your dragon called?
We called her Draco.
Oh,
Draco.
Cool.
Right, the bearded dragon.
Is that
dragon.
A Harry Potter thing or is that?
Yeah, I have nerdy children who love Harry Potter and they also know that it's like the dragon.
You have wonderful children, all right?
Did you say that we did call her as in she has gone to bearded dragon heaven?
Last year, she did go to Macca's. Macca's was the last place she went, and when I went to get it the next morning, she was overnight.
So. Someone's opened up their cheeseburger and found Draco inside, deep fried.
No, sadly, she was in a tank, but
okay.
Oh, wow.
Are you going to get a new one? Are you going to get a new one?
Yeah, we were thinking about it, so we were kind of...
Can you call it Dan? Can you call it Dan?
Yeah,
please? Sure. Yeah, great. I would love to know there's a dragon out there named after me. That would be a all real right, dream come true.
What's the fast food outlet of choice that you'd like them to take the new bearded dragon to, Dan?
I want you to take a trip to California and go to In-N-Out Burger with Dan the Dragon.
Thanks, Courts.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
13, 10, 60. This is going to be a good one. What is the funniest thing you've ever seen your dad get angry at? What's really yanked your dad's chain? What's made him go mad? Full disclosure, we haven't come up with this topic. This is a topic that was tweeted earlier in the week, and I've been following the thread. I think he actually is a guy who writes for Vice magazine, Joel Golby, who I follow, but I love it so much. He tweeted, just asked a great question in group chat, and I'm extending it out to here. What is the funniest thing you've seen your dad get angry at? And the results, right?
It's
he was retweeting
amazing.
Him. Like this one, my dad once got beaten up in a Noddy costume, and he visibly fumes whenever I bring up Noddy.
Oh. Love it. And there's nothing better than getting your dad a little bit angry.
Oh, they fire up. What about this one? My mum told him she didn't like the camo print he'd painted on the garden table, so he took an axe to it.
That's so extreme. That's a really extreme reaction.
This is another one. My dad went mental at me when I was a kid once for putting too much ketchup on my plate and made me pay him back £1 to replace it.
Brilliant. Okay, so 13, 10, 60, what's the funniest thing that you've seen your dad get angry at? I don't know the name of the YouTube video that is stuck in my head, but it is a supercut of a dad's response to his son scaring him all the time. And his response is, oh, you bastard, every single time. It's so funny. So this kid, he'll like creep around the corner filming and his dad's sitting on the couch and he'll just, and he usually will say a celebrity's name. So he'll go, Angelina Jolie. And then the dad's like, oh, you bastard. It's the best thing ever. I've wasted so much time watching that video. Oh. It's so entertaining.
Oh, 13, 10, 60. All right, what's the funniest thing you've seen your dad get angry at?
Dan and Maz Weekends.
We want to know the funniest thing that you've seen your dad get angry at.
13, 10, 60. The funniest thing. My dad and I once didn't talk for...
Oh, I remember this story. Like a month. It was like a month that your dad was like super mad at you.
Literally like... Like that whole like, mum, could you please ask dad to pass me the salt kind of mad?
Oh, that's so infuriating.
Imagine what I was like when I was a teenager, when I thought I knew it all. Now I pretend to, but back then I thought I actually did.
What was the argument about?
The pronunciation of the word genre.
Oh, that is
how bad is that?
Obnoxious.
It's so obnoxious, isn't it?
So obnoxious.
Didn't talk, but him as well. Both of us.
I know.
He gave as good as he got.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it?
Love you, Jim.
Okay, we've got Julie on 13, 10, 60. Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
Yeah, good, Jules.
Funniest thing you've seen your dad angry about?
He couldn't get the lawnmower started, so he set fire to it and burnt it.
Whoa! Your dad set the lawnmower on fire in frustration.
Absolutely.
Were you guys just watching it unfold going, don't stop him? How did it happen? What was it like?
Well, it was just dad, I think. He just got so frustrated with this stupid mower that was supposed to be the best mower.
And what, did he just cover it in petrol and throw a match on it or what?
Exactly.
That's got to be the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, there's got to be other factors adding to his adrenal fatigue in order for you to snap and set fire to a lawnmower.
Well, I guess he wanted to get the lawn mowed and it didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, good on, Dad.
That's so extreme. We've got Alicia. Hello.
G'day.
All right.
G'day, babe.
What's the funniest thing you've seen your dad crack it over, Alicia?
Well, my dad used to crack the shit
criticizing me painting my toenails in the lounge room. So one day, he fell asleep on the couch, so I painted his toenails.
Oh, you're so bloody hard.
And he didn't realize till we were all sort of giggling when he woke up. And he's like, get this crap off me, get this off me. And, he didn't know how to get it off. So, he tried everything. It was quite amusing.
Oh, great.
That's amazing. That's a good practical joke to play on your dad.
I've just thought of another one.
A really good one, Alicia.
Oh, Alicia, one time my dad, Jim, he, as a prank at the rugby club, the guys sort of pinned him down and shaved his eyebrow off. And at the time, it's a practical joke, lads, etc., right? And he, at the time, because he was with all his mates and he didn't want to lose face, he just sort of was like, oh, yeah, good one. But the whole drive home, he was livid. He was so angry because he had to do a presentation at work the next day.
What did he do?
With one eyebrow. So he shaved the other one off, hoping they wouldn't notice that he had no eyebrows. We thought it was less obvious than one. And he got about one slide into the presentation. They were like, just got to stop you there, Jim. Are you missing your eyebrows? And he had to say it was a joke. And they were like, oh, whatever, mate. You put some oil on the Barbie and it singed them off or something. He's like, no, it was a joke. Oh,
I love it.
He cracked it. He cracked it.
Hey, we've got Laura on 131060. Wrap this up for us, babe.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Great.
Good.
My dad couldn't break open a coconut once.
Explain.
Me and my mum had followed all the instructions, but, you know, they're still pretty hard to crack. So
they're very difficult to crack open, actually.
You got to machete them,
You do.
So I just remember he was getting more and more frustrated and he had this huge kitchen knife and he just ended up slamming it into it and he, kind of rebounded off it and then he broke the tip of the knife because he slammed it into the yard.
I love it. Dads versus nature. Nature one, dad zero.
So good.
Dan and Maz weekends.
Before we hot-tail it out of here and let you get on with your Sunday, there's lots of news around.
There is, and Maz, we are sort of a bit of a go-to news source.
Well, we really are.
People want to know current affairs, hot buttons, trending topics.
Couple of shock jocks, we are.
Yeah, we are. We aren't afraid to tell it like it is. We don't pull any punches. Yeah, whatever. We do have the benefit, right? We do have the benefit of not being on air until Saturday, Sunday. And by then, you've had the chance to look at all the news of the week, follow all the stories, and you know by now which news stories are the important ones and which ones are the news you didn't need to care about.
In olden days, news was true and important as printed in newspapers and broadcast at 6 p.m. Now it's on the internet and in your Facebook sidebar and it's unimportant, incorrect, or just news you didn't need to care about.
This week we were all gripped by the story of Jamie Murphy, the schoolies teenager arrested in Bali with a bag of white powder. He was violently arrested. The nightclub apologised, but did he actually buy the drugs? Were they even drugs? No, it was just paracetamol. What an adventure. And now the whole journey's over and you really didn't need to follow it at all.
Who's going to be playing at the inauguration of the patron saint of fake news, Donald Trump? Well, it's not Elton John. Here's what one of Trump's transition team claimed this week.
This will be the first American president in U.S. history that enters the White House with a pro-gay right stance. Elton John is going to be doing our concert on the Mall for the inauguration.
Nope. Elton's team issued a quick denial, literally the word deny in capital letters.
Also, if your mates this week shared the heartwarming video of the polar bear patting a cute dog. Well, sucked in them because it's been confirmed the polar bear literally ate the dog straight after.
And
on that awkward note,
that's the news you didn't need to care about. That's terrible. That last story is awful.
Yep. Everyone was like, look at this cute video. And then a day later, they were like, about that video. Yep. That's nature, though.
Yes,
it's a polar bear eat dog world out there.
It sure is. Take care out there this week, guys. We'll have a whole bunch of news you didn't need to care about, and we'll wrap it up for you next weekend. And remember, our show lives online. We're at danamaz.com and at danamaz on all the socials. See ya!
Bottom!
Dan and Maz Weekends!